I love being here with my church family. It takes a special church family, as we do go out a whole lot. And y'all see, Cindy and I will be missing a whole lot of times and skipping here and there, weeks here and there. So it does take a special church family. And we got the ones that you see here today. All of these belong to a local body of church believers, and they're active in their churches. We got deacons, elders, choir members, just all sorts. Throughout the organization, and that's part of being in CMA. We're plugged in at our local body of church, and we serve there alongside with our with the congregation there. So we got all those here. We're making history today at New Bethel, by the way. This is our third annual. This is the only time a church has had us back three times. Well, you know, it happens sometimes, so we're thankful for that. Not quite sure what that's all about, but we do go out a lot. We do get to see a lot of different churches, a lot of different people, and make new friends everywhere we go. We try to. But just to add a little bit here to the video we watched in CMA, this past June, Cindy and I and some others traveled out to West Virginia to the National Rally. We got to meet these mission partners, Mission Ventures, Open Doors, Jesus Film Project. We got to see these people. Now, I'm the world's worst skeptic, so I wanted to be there and be a part of that and see. It was tangible. I could touch that. They received the checks and things from the Run for the Sunday that we host every year on the first Saturday in May. These guys shared their heart, they preached, they told their stories, and that really helps me a whole lot. While we were there, they broke down some of the numbers for us for North Carolina. So 27% of our, we were increased 27% in North Carolina in all our giving this past year. That was huge for us. We ranked fifth in the nation, if you was going to rank that. We don't spend a lot of time on those particular numbers, but that was huge for us to step up in those rankings in the top five in the country. CMA has an active member list in North Carolina, 654 members. We got 26 active chapters. And you're all a part of this. Y'all have been giving to us. Y'all have been supporting us for the past 3 years now. And when we go out these doors, it's an extended arm. And we're on those rally fields. You're a part of that. You may not be there physically. When we're at the Rest Stop Ministries, we're giving out cups of coffee and water in those scripture cups, or giving away Bibles out there and tracts and things like that. You're all a part of that. Last Saturday, a group of us was up. We got invited up to Roxborough, the Person County High School. We was out there in the parking lot there, or the track and field day. They was having a big thing, Rocket Days. And it's different events like that that come up along the way that we're able to attend and go to. A lot of our guys and ladies were out yesterday for Relay for Life over in Oxford. Big ride there for support there. So we're out there in the streets, and we're out there going and doing. It's a real busy time of year starting up right now. It kind of kicks us off air, kind of going in the end of March, and we hit April, and then May we're full stride. We're running. We got people out of banks right now. It started up yesterday, the Outer Banks Bike Rally. They'll be there through the next weekend. So they're holding church services today, this morning, at the Harley-Davidson shop. There'll be all kinds of events going on there. So it takes a lot of people, and it's a lot of traveling, things like that. And so we cover all those things in prayer. There's a lot of people will come in new, and they'll go, hey, what can I do? I can't go to all this stuff. Pray. Just pray for us. You can be there in prayer. You can, you know, you see a bike going down the road, a motorcycle or something, just think, say, you know what, maybe some of them CMA people, just lift up a word of prayer for us or something like that. So we're thankful for that. So today, I just wanted to share with you from the Word today, and I come up with this title for this message, and I know, you know, me and my brother, we pick a lot of times. Y'all probably noticed that over the time, you know, because I pulled for the best team, Duke, you know. So not only our sports rivalry, we kind of differ. One thing we don't differ on is the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, we stand firm. All four of us boys, there's four of us boys. I was the best one. Most well-behaved, just as I am. Now, I know John's going to say something to the effect later of, boy, that was a real brainstorm there. You come up with this title for this message. Actually, it hit me in the invitation last Sunday in church right here in my home church. And we were singing, I Love to Tell the Story. It won't even Just As I Am, see. I knew he was going to go there. Now, Just As I Am, and I've heard it all of my life. I've heard that more than likely it's an invitational song. It's always given, and we'll have it here today. But Just As I Am, and I'm thinking, you know, that's the way he wants us to come. Just as we are, just as we come through those doors this morning, just as I am. Simple title there, and I need simple things. I can't get big words as I get all out of whack, but just as I am. And I said, what a title there. So I did a little research on it. And Just As I Am is an old hymn, of course, and written by Charlotte Elliott in 1835, some 183 years ago. At the age of 32, she had a serious illness that disabled her. She was an invalid, if you will. She stayed inside. She was in the house. Her lifelong spiritual mentor was Cesar Millan. He was a Swiss minister at that time. He counseled her to replace her rage and the inner conflict she was having of. The same thing we would have, a struggle there. Here, at 32 years of age, it seems like my life's been taken out from under me. I can't go. I can't do. I'm stuck here in the house. But he encouraged her through peace and a simple faith in God. And she turned all her energies, all the depression, her condition, and she felt renewed by her salvation. And she done that in hymns. And she was able to write these hymns. What a beautiful story of this lady and her hymnals. We might think people aren't good enough or not good enough to come to Jesus. You know, we may grade somebody, much like the song talked about today. We may grade somebody in that way, but it's through God's initiative, his pardon, his promises, free love, his grace, if you will, mentioned throughout that hymn, that everyone can come to Jesus. Just like Elliot, many people will face conflict, doubt, fighting fears within and without, but all can find rest in Jesus. And I'd say, just as I am. We come here today just as we are. Some have had a bad week, maybe, or a month, or 6 months, or maybe it's been in the last hour. You may have been through some turmoil in your life, or just turmoil getting out of the house and getting here, trying to slide in on time or whatever. I don't know what your situation is this morning. There's no way I could know outside of you telling me what's going on in your life. But God knows. He knows where you are this morning. He knows the need. He knows the struggle. And most importantly, he knows your future. He knows where you're at. This morning we'll be in Luke chapter 15. This chapter is full of parables. Jesus is talking about it. Jesus spoke a lot in parables. And it gives the understanding to us. To me, I call it the believability of the Bible. I can relate to a lot of these situations and these parables that have been told and Jesus has taught. And it gives a way of relating to certain things throughout the culture at that time, and it applies directly to us here today in a lot of these parables. And we'll see a very familiar one today in Luke chapter 15. We're going to look in verse 1. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" We'll stop there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Father, I just pray that you would just calm our minds and our spirits, open our hearts to receive your word, Father. There's a lot going on this morning and a different look and things that's going on throughout our sanctuary today, Father. Just let all those things subside. The feeling of aggression or any kind of turmoil we may have in our life or whatever's going on right now, Father, I just pray that you speak to our hearts. Father, give me the words to say in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we see here in verse 1, Jesus is here with the tax collectors and the sinners. Tax collectors is probably just as the best of the sinners that you can get. But they notice they drew near to him. They drew near to him to hear him. These sinners, Romans 3:23 reminds us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I'd say, just as I am. Just as I am. This is, we come into this sanctuary today. Verse 2 reminds us the religious leaders had a complaint against that. The man receives sinners and he eats with them. I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that he does that, and he has a compassion for lost souls, and he loves us that much that he would die on a cross for us. He received the scribes and Pharisees too. I thought it was interesting. You know, they were busy staying pure. They was good at keeping the law and things like that, and they was able to do that to the letter, so some would say. But they didn't have a compassion for the lost, for the lost souls, for the sinners. Mark 2:17, Jesus reminds us, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners were attracted to Jesus. He didn't cater to them, or he didn't change his message. He didn't sidestep. He didn't pursue them. They pursued him. Just like in verse 1, it says they drew near to him. They come to hear him. They wanted to be a part of him. There was something different about him. He cares for them. He loves them. He has compassion for lost souls. That's what the light was all about. That's what drew him near and near and near. He said, hey, I want to go and be near that. He loves us and wants us to know about these things. So he's teaching parables here. All throughout chapter 15 here, we see the different parables. We see the lost sheep, the lost coin, but today we're going to concentrate on the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, if you will. Prodigal, by definition, spending money freely, recklessly, and this one I really like, I figured John would like this, wastefully extravagant. I had to get all that written down. If Randy was here, we'd talk to Siri. We'd get these words written down. Wastefully extravagant, reckless, just reckless abandon, just spending money where we wanted to go there. So the prodigal son, we'll pick it up in verse 11 of chapter 15. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. We'll stop there for a minute. We see in verse 11, the father here has two sons. Verse 12 talks about the younger son asking his father, hey, give me the portion that falls to me. Give it to me. Give to me what I already got coming to me. Man, what a slap in the face. Through the study of this, there's nothing unlawful for that to be asked. That was a legitimate question. There's no law that was in effect in that time, and anything like that, it was entirely up to the father. So he's got his younger son, his older son there, and the younger son saying, hey, give me what's mine. Give it to me anyway. And I thought about my own house. I said, if Courtney came in and said, give me my portion that's coming to me, and I scratched it around, I said, probably about $2.87, you know. They said he went to the far country. She probably couldn't get very far down the driveway, you know, bless her heart. But I did notice one thing. It always starts with the younger sibling that stirs up the stuff, don't it? Amen? The younger sibling? The older sibling's always there for the cleanup. You know what I mean? The younger sibling. Just saying. It's in the Bible. We'll move on. Verse 13. It didn't take him long. The young man, as any young man would be, he's got a pocket full of money. He's got his inheritance. He's got this money, he's got all these ideas, and he heads off. He's got a great big world to explore. He's got a lot of money that was gifted to him. He left his family. He went away to the far country, probably where he probably went far enough that no one would really know who he was, and he could live his lifestyle just like he wanted to live. He could live life on his own terms, enjoying his dreams of freedom away from his father, his brother, his family, the work there at home, or whatever they had going on. And we see this rebellion side of this young man. It's a lot like our own lives sometimes, living on our own terms, what makes us happy, doing our own thing. You know, we're self-sufficient, and we're strong thinkers. We're very smart nowadays, and We can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We don't need people helping us along the way. We can roll with it. You know, it's life. You just kind of got to roll with the punches. And I'd say, just as I am. Verse 14 there, we see it all dries up. And a famine hits the land. He had spent all he had. He lost his friends. You see, the money dries up and all that goes away. And he squandered all that. Well, he's down to number one now. He's down to himself. The young man in verse 15 says he was forced to do for a stranger what he would not do for his father. He had to go to work. He had to come up with some way for provision. He's in a bad way. Verse 16 tells us he would have gladly filled his stomach with the very bean pods he was feeding those pigs. He was that hungry. He's coming to the end of his rope here. No one gave him anything. No handouts. Man, just probably hours, days, weeks before, he was living it up, having a great time. He had plenty of resources. He had things going on. Not anymore. Warren Wiersbe puts it like this. The prodigal son learned you cannot enjoy the things money can buy if you ignore the things money cannot buy. If you ignore those things. I just love that quote from him. The prodigal son is finding himself now in a very destitute place. We'll look at verse 17. We'll pick it up again. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. We'll stop there. He come to himself. We see a great repentance story here in these next few verses that we've read. Sometimes we have to hit bottom to make that turn. Sometimes it's things that happen in our life. It may be sickness. It may be a death. It may be any number of things. It don't have to be that. Sometimes it's sitting right here in church on a Sunday morning on a church pew. And God turns that light on for us. This young man had some extreme circumstances. He had done exactly what he wanted to do, live life his way. He'd run out of money. He's homeless, he's dirty, he's hungry. And he got to thinking, how many servants of my father's is there that's got plenty to eat? They got plenty to spare. They got a place to stay. And they're my father's servants. How much more did I have? He's starting to see things now. The blinders is coming off. It's kind of the way it is with us, isn't it? When that time of repentance comes and God takes away those blinders off of us and says, man, how much more can I have? How much more joy? I've been living this life all this time. How much more could there be? We see in verse 18 his repentant heart. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He's come down to, you know what? I'm no longer even worthy to be called your son there in verse 19. No longer. Make me like one of your servants. I'll just be one of your servants. Just let me be one of your servants. That's the extreme place this young man is in. Verse 20, it says, and he arose and came to his father when he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion. He ran and fell on his neck, kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll stop there. Verse 20. We see these verses and following. We see the prodigal son returns here. We see a joyous reunion about to take place. But there's some steps that have to happen along the way. And we see long before he reached home, his father saw him coming. So his father stopped and looked out there. Maybe he's coming down the long path and he's going, that's my son there. And he told his servants, he said, hey, go out and meet him. Get him cleaned up first. Get him washed up. Don't want to see him like this. He's been out and about. He's been out in the world. He's been doing what he wants to do. Then we'll talk about things. We'll consider some things. No, he didn't say that at all. His father saw him, had compassion on him, just like our Heavenly Father sees us. He ran to him. In that day and age, the older men didn't run. They didn't run to things. They had servants. They had people to do stuff. He ran. He ran to his son, had compassion, fell on his neck, and kissed him. He loved his son. His father accepted him just as he was. Just as the hymnal says, just as I am. He accepted him. He loved him. He loves his son. I remember the late Adrian Rogers. I was listening to one of his sermons one night, and he was preaching, and he was really just tearing it up, just preaching and preaching and preaching. And he said, you know, so many times as Christians and in the church today, we try to clean the fish before we catch them. You know, it don't work. It don't work that way. This daddy didn't want to clean that boy up. He wanted his son back. He wanted to put his arms around him. He wanted to hug that boy, just like we would do. Any parent in this room, when we talk about agape love from the Bible, I call it parental love. We know when we correct a child, still our child, sometimes I'm not quite sure when they said it hurts me worse than it does you. Those are some mighty tough whippings now, I'm going to tell you. But the child's still their child. It's still our child, and we love them, and we love them anyway. We love them. Even though they've done wrong, we've had to discipline them and had some correction there. That's what this father did. He loved him. What a picture of our Heavenly Father towards repentant sinners. He is rich in his mercy and grace, freely given to us and made possible only by Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross for sinners, just as I am. Verse 21, the son makes confession. That's the first step. He's got to confess. He's thought all these things, and they sound good. When he's there in his desperation, he's going, I'm going to go to my daddy. Verse 21 says, hey, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer to be called your son. He made confession right there. He's coming from the heart. That's where God sees us, from the heart. I can stand here all day and read from the scriptures, and I can tell you all the stories, and we can talk about the parables, and I can sing the hymnals. But the heart is the heart of the matter. God knows our heart, and he loves us. In the midst of his son making confession, the father interrupts and has his servants bring the best robe out. He says, come on, get him the best robe we got. Put a ring on his hand, a family ring, a kinship ring. This is my son. This is my son. I love him. This is my child. Bring sandals for his feet. Let's put it on him. Bring out the fatted calf. Invite the neighbors. We're going to have a party. We're going to be merry, and we're going to celebrate here. It was such a joyous reunion that day. And why? Love of a father. The love of a father. Verse 24, he says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What a beautiful picture. When we think about our Heavenly Father, when we were found, he says, come to me. I just want to put my arms around you. Come into the fold. I love you that much. How about you today? Are you tired? Have you lost your joy? Is there something missing? You say, well, I got this going on. I got that going on. The Bible tells us about our Heavenly Father's love for everyone, for all. One of the most memorized verses and quoted in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's us, whosoever, we're the whosoever's, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I always like to follow it, verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I'd say just as I am. He didn't come here to condemn us. He come to sinners just like me to have an opportunity to take advantage of the finished work, only by his finished work on the cross. He's alive and living today. And we just celebrated Easter and the resurrection. And I would encourage you today, if you got something going on in your life, you need to turn it over to him and let him have it. You got some conflicts going on, whatever the case may be. And there's never a time it's too late. Any minute of any day, he's right there for you. He'll be just like that daddy, looking down that long path and running and coming to you. And say, come to me. You can rest here. I'm going to pray for us and then I'll turn it over to John. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for each and every person that has turned aside today and come out to be a part of this service. Father, I believe each and every person's here for a divine appointment. I believe that we're all here for a reason. Father, I pray that your word is powerful, convicting, and strong, Father, and I pray that you'd minister to our hearts during this time of invitation, Father. Maybe we just need to hug a brother or sister. Maybe we just need to pray. Maybe we want to join a church that says, you know what, just as I am, come, come. Father, we love you with all our heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen.